Good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord once again. We have our good friend, Brother Keith Hershey, with us.
Hallelujah.
And we are talking about the courage to carry Christ in you. Praise the Lord. Well, we kicked it off last week, and
yes,
the Lord really gave us good utterance, and what a great blessing. Just for those of you who may be watching for the first time, we're going to be doing Sunday evening services online just about every Sunday night now at 6:30. And we are going to be doing some in-person ones as well. But we are emphasizing this little booklet, The Courage to Carry Christ in You. This is written by Brother Hershey, and this was his theme at his 40th anniversary in January. Mm. And my, what a time we had. Praise the Lord. Reminiscing, just looking back to see all that the Lord has done. Mm. And Keith, we're going to give this book away.
Awesome.
I don't know if you're going to charge me for it or not.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's a gift.
But we're going to...
A gift has no attachments to it.
We're gonna give this book into your hands. So all you got to do is come next Sunday morning. Mm. We're not... sending the book out, or, you know, all those types of things, or taking in orders. You just come to church Sunday morning on the 29th, and we'll get this wonderful book, The Courage to Carry Christ in You. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, we left off last week talking about Mary.
Yes, we did.
How that she was highly favored of God.
Highly.
And, man, she was blessed among women.
Blessed.
And that God was with her.
God was with her.
Amen.
You know, that's all you ever need to really know.
That's
right.
You
know, it's almost enough for anything. But what I liked about it is she didn't really position herself to prepare to know that. She was interrupted with it. The gospel can interrupt you. The gospel can suddenly shift your thinking.
Yes.
And that's what I like about the story, because she was going through her daily routine. And we all have routines.
Mm-hmm.
We all have things. We got jobs. We got kids, family, whatever our individual stuff is. But we need to be surprised. And I love the surprises of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Where your heart's stirred, your emotions are stirred.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, life can become very callous, can become very cold. We can become very critical.
Yeah.
And this is beautiful about the opportunity believers have. All of us have. Anyone, everyone, everywhere has the opportunity to carry Christ as a reality. So
oh,
it's good.
I love it. Praise God.
Yeah.
So thank God. Remember, now you've got favor.
Mm.
No condemnation in your life.
None.
You are well positioned. I love that phrase. That the Lord is with you.
Yes.
Isn't it good to know that the Lord is with us?
It's everything.
We don't want to take on man-made assignments.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we take on man-made assignments, guess who pays the bill?
We do.
That's right.
You collapse.
Yeah.
You know, in your own sufficiency.
So we want to know that the Lord is with us in everything that we do. And so it pays us rich dividends to seek the Lord.
Mm, it does.
You know, we're there and... I don't know. One of the Gospels, he says, ask, knock, seek, and it shall be given unto you. So as you seek the Lord, as you look to him, he'll give you assignments, just like he's given you so many assignments around the world. It's an amazing thing.
Well, I think sometimes when you understand the beauty of your favor, that the Lord's with you, and that you're blessed, you have to know that in advance, despite anything natural.
Yeah.
So you never measure your life with God based on natural things. You always measure your life with God based on Jesus in the work of the cross. So that interruption that Mary had was to set her up for an invitation.
Wow.
And the invitation was, hey, you can bear the Christ.
Oh, man.
You can be a carrier of Christ in you.
Wow.
And to me, Mary becomes a template.
Mm.
A picture
of
carrying Christ in you. She became physically a visual of birthing Christ to her world.
Yes.
And she was birthing really also the one who was going to establish a new covenant, a new operating system, the way God was going to deal with man. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 8, after he speaks about the new covenant, it says the old one was obsolete at the cross. It was becoming obsolete in terms of experience among the people. and was going to vanish away. And it all happened then later on, AD 70, in the collapse, the destruction of the temple. Jesus prophesied all of it within that generation. But it's amazing that now a new covenant believer has that same imagery, that Christ is in me, and we have to see that maturity and that growth and the development of the life of Jesus.
The courage to carry Christ to a broken world.
Yeah.
The courage to carry Christ. I have read part of your book recently, and in page 17, I love it. He says, the high life, the abundant life, the blessed life, the redeemed life is a life where you're satisfied with being in Christ and Christ being in you. Mary's story can be your story.
That's good.
That is really
good.
Did I
write that?
Yes, you did. So hear the word, believe the word, receive the word, and as a highly favored child of God, begin to live courageously, carrying the living word, Christ in you, to the world.
Wow. That encouraged me. I need to get another copy of that book myself and reread it. You know, but I like that. Mary's story can be your story. And it's true. We are called to have the revelation and the reality of Christ in us.
Yes.
To our world and birth the revelation of Jesus to others. So that puts us all, you know, on a ministry assignment, so to speak, you know.
Well, she carried Jesus for 9 months.
It's amazing.
And I noticed one of the things in the book, that she was connected. She didn't just go off by herself. She was connected to someone else.
Oh, my.
And that was Elizabeth, right?
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that. How important it is for us to be connected on our way when we're carrying vision, when we're carrying assignments. We need one another.
Oh, it's huge. And I think, really, this really gets me excited. So you'll have to pardon me if I just want to stand up and shout
a little bit.
Because here's the cool thing to me. Is after Gabriel interrupted Mary's life, gave her the opportunity or the invitation to be a carrier of Christ, that was only received after she knew the truth about herself from God's point of view, that she had favor, that the Lord was with her, and that she was blessed. So once you have that renewed, your mind renewed to that, you can say something and receive something. She said, be it unto me, according to the word, right?
Hey.
And she conceived. But then, after you conceive, sometimes naturally, it can be a little, there can be a lull.
Yeah, cares of this life.
It can be a little dull.
The
distractions,
page,
all these things come in, and then you wonder, did I really get a message from God that I'm really favored by God? Did I really, you know, is Christ really in me? Because once you conceive something, you don't show anything.
Yeah.
She's not showing nothing.
Oh, that's good.
But she went to an environment of faith.
Come
a
on.
Believer. And this is why, to me, again, Pastor Mark, church is so key. Church is so important. To come into an environment where you can mingle with friends and even new folks. Find a new friend.
That's good.
But where you can see and say. You see something in somebody and you can say something over someone about what they're carrying.
Yeah.
Their vision, their dream. And that's what Elizabeth did in the story of Luke 1. She went to see Elizabeth. And Elizabeth immediately discerned that she was carrying something.
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
And she prophesied. She began to speak over her. And the conclusion of this prophecy was basically, there will be a performance for you.
Come on.
Of everything that was told you from the Lord. So I always like to tell
encouragement.
People, you've got to really know what has the Lord told you. Because what the Lord's told me for my little life, my little world, might be a little different than what the Lord's told you for your life, your assignment, your world. But that's why hearing the word, hearing the gospel preached is very important. Because in reading the gospel, giving yourself to hear. Now, I still read physically, my physical Bible and stuff. But I mostly read my digital Bible when I'm traveling. But I like to hear it. I like to play it.
Yeah, I do too.
So I love to hear the word, because God can speak little things to
me.
And those are the things that he's going to bring forth, the things that were told me from the Lord. So you have to make sure you're hearing properly from the heart of the Father.
Oh, yeah.
And you need an Elizabeth in your life. I think one of the great ministry assignments that mutual faith tries to do is we try to be in Elizabeth.
Yeah.
We identify as yes. Elizabeth. You know, everybody yes. wants to identify as something. Identify as an Elizabeth. In other words, be someone who can see something and say something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this wow. brings such massive encouragement, wow. like whether we're among friends or people we don't know, mm-hmm. but to validate the beauty of God's love for them and to say there's going to be a performance, there's going to be a fulfillment of your dream, there's yeah. going to be a fulfillment of your business, whatever it is with different people. But you can have that kind of quickening, which I think is one of the most powerful things. And the fruit of that kind of ministry brought joy.
Wow.
Where in the Bible, it's called the Song of Mary, or the Song of Magnificent. She said, my soul, in other words, my mind, my emotions.
Yes.
My soul, my emotions, yes. I magnify the Lord.
Magnify.
In other words, she was lifting a banner. You know what I mean?
Yes, she was.
She was lifting a banner. And it changes your natural domain.
Wow.
It changes the natural. And this is where most of us struggle, in the natural things of life, where despair, yeah. discouragement, depression, fear, worry, anxiety, all these things try to visit all of us in different things. But if you have a friend in faith,
faith
I call
friends.
It mutual faith, faith
Come
friends,
on.
In an environment of the community of the saints, then
yes.
you can see and say,
oh, yeah.
the Lord's with you, you know. There's going to be a performance.
Oh, man.
You're great with child.
You're going to make it.
You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be successful. Everything
yeah.
about your life, you know? And this is what we all need that.
That's right. Oh, yeah. man. The thing that came up in my heart when you were talking about is we need to be connected to community.
Yes.
We need faith friends.
Yes.
We need faith buddies.
Yes.
Each and every one of us, we're never, ever. Notice that Mary, she didn't isolate herself.
No, she didn't.
And I think a lot of times when the storms of life come to us, mm-hmm. the distractions of this age or whatever it might be, I think there's this tendency sometimes of the flesh to isolate ourselves.
Yes.
That's the worst thing that we can do.
Totally.
We need one another.
You know.
You need one another in the church here.
Mm-hmm.
We need one another in the body of Christ. And thank God you can be that Elizabeth. You can be that encourager. Well,
yes.
somebody says, well, you just don't know what I'm going through. Well, the Lord does,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord is with you
yeah.
right there in your situation. But how about this? Take a step out of that and be an encourager.
Yes.
Be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's brought you through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He's brought us through a lot of things. And that one of the purposes for that is so that we can lift other people up.
Absolutely. No, it's so key. I remember as a kid, you know, growing up in the Midwest, and learning to swim at, you know, 5, 6, 7, whatever it was. And you go to this place and they had a buddy system.
Right.
And you had to have yeah. your little buddy. And if you were going to be in the lake, the buddy system is kind of really what we're talking about
yeah.
in a way. It's a faith buddy.
That's right.
You know, that stops you from sinking.
Yeah.
Stops you from drowning in your own tears or
right.
drowning the dreams of what God has already said about
so
you.
So good.
And we need somebody to lift us and
yeah.
pull us up. Not
someone to hold us down
yep.
or condemn us
right.
with thoughts like, where is your faith and
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No, we need faith buddies.
Absolutely.
Tell me how healed I am again.
Yeah,
tell
exactly.
me how God meets my needs.
Yep, absolutely.
Those are so good.
It's very important.
Absolutely. So be that Elizabeth. Amen.
Mm.
So let us live then in the reality of Christ in us.
Mm.
In 1 John chapter 2, 6, I think that talks about, I'd have to look it up, but I think that's in the head of one of your chapters of your book here. Let me just take a look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pull it up here.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay.
What a necessity. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked.
Mm.
Amen?
Mm.
And so in our world today, having this revelation is an absolute necessity. And I noticed in this book, one of the things you said over on page 20 is think of this thrilling truth for the believer. Living according to the reality of Christ in you, here are some admonitions to help you on this carrying adventure. Number one, admonition number one, for as many of us as you are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, what does that mean, be clothed with Christ?
Yeah, you know, I think this is so key because part of the courage to carry Christ is, you know, letting the Christ life manifest through you. And
yes,
it takes courage today to have a stand, to make a stand, so to speak, to have a culture of the kingdom of God, your worldview, versus the culture we're in.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're all enticed with the system that we're set in. And I know, because I travel a lot around the world, the systems of the world, you know, can drag you all kinds of different ways. But those of us who are in Christ and believers, it's very, very important that we position ourselves where we're clothed with Christ,
mm-hmm,
and we make decisions that only exemplify the life of Christ.
Oh, that's good.
And it can be kind of, I don't know, it can be like guardrails to protect you from just falling off the cliff,
oh,
so to speak.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I think in Ephesians somewhere it says, put off the old man.
Right.
And then put on the new man.
Yes.
So how do we do that? How do we put off the old man and put on the new man? One thing that I know we need to do is renew our minds.
Right, totally.
And begin to think like he thinks, because the world is nuts.
Oh, jeez, it's amazing.
I mean,
yeah.
Their thoughts are, they're totally antichrist. They're you know, contrary to the word of God.
Yep.
There's a system called the world system.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I, we're not of this world.
Hallelujah.
We're living in this world, but we're not of it.
Absolutely.
What we're called to do is carry Christ in us in this world and be a bright light.
Hallelujah.
Not condemning people, not putting people down, but just letting our light shine.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the key, isn't it? It's everything. To be in an environment of a world system where we work or live or whatever, and yet be, like you say, the light that's shining in the midst of, well, the Bible says we are lights shining in the midst of a perverse
and crooked
generation.
Yeah, that's Philippians 2:15.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're right. The light has to shine. So we have to know, we have to believe and walk accordingly for sure.
Yeah, amen.
Know? Yeah.
So God does his part, you know, but we need to do our part.
Absolutely.
And putting on Christ. I like your, in my notes, I have, we wear Christ.
Yes.
We wear Christ. We put off the old man and put
you
on
know
the
what?
New man.
You always kind of look good wearing Christ. You know what I mean? That's about as good looking as you can ever
That's
be.
That's right. That's right.
Is when we absolutely wear the reality of Christ. And there can be a, you know, there can be something that's tangible about it too. It's not just in a moral compass that some may say, and that's true, but there's a tangibleness to wearing Christ.
Yes.
There's a, not just the fruit of the spirit of God's life, but there's something that's evident. People sense things.
Yeah.
You know, I remember talking to this person and this lady, and she had visited a friend of mine, and they were like, she was like maybe mid-60s or something.
Yeah.
And she was going through just calamity with her and her daughter. And you know how in our world today, the generations, the parents and the kids are kind of, you know, everybody's worldview is a little different or whatever. And she was so broken. So my friend, who's kind of an agnostic guy, he's not even a believer.
Yeah.
He called me and asked if I would meet with her. So I said, of course, you know. And I sat, and he was there as well, and he listened. And but what I sensed about the environment is there was something tangible about wearing Christ into her presence that dissolved every fear that she had. But there's something, it's not like, okay, we're just telling people what's right and wrong in terms of a moral compass about a thing.
No.
It's like the presence of Jesus
it
fixes things
that
you don't even hardly have to speak on.
Wow.
You know, and this lady was so transformed. And I sat with her 30 minutes and it was like just yakking. But this is what's so powerful about wearing the presence of Jesus, you know. It's discernible. It's recognizable. With the hardest-hearted people. And, you know, that's like even some of the Bible stories, you know, where the Lord reigns just as people go in. Or the shadow of Peter. Remember passing by?
Yeah.
It would heal. It was like an unconscious influence. He was just wearing Christ.
That's
all he was.
Well, that's light, right?
Yeah, it is light.
We're the light of the world.
Absolutely.
And what does light do? Well, we know that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Yeah. So we could say we're children of light, and in our lives is no darkness.
Wow, that's really
good. And the light of God and the love of God, because the light of God comes from the love of God.
Yes.
The love of the Father. It dispels darkness.
Yes, it does.
And you taught about a month ago here on Wednesday night. And if you didn't listen to that yet, get it. It was one of the best, seriously, I've ever heard from Brother Keith preach. But Isaiah, I think it's 60, verse 1, arise and shine, for your light has come. Amen.
Yeah. You know, it takes courage to do that.
It
takes courage, like we said earlier, in the midst of a perverse,
crooked
generation.
Yeah.
It takes courage to arise and shine, but this is why we're bathed in the revelation of what we know the Father has said about us.
Oh yeah,
and we know that we've conceived the Word. Mm. We've been born again of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so we're carrying the revelation, Christ in me. That's the mystery that's now revealed. And that's the truth. And that's the strength of everything that's working.
So good. Well, I'm on page 21. Mm. Admonition number 2, Romans 13, verse 14, says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That's wearing Christ.
Yep.
And make no provision for the flesh.
What a bummer. Because I was really expecting to really have a big, wonderful meal today.
Yeah.
We joke about that because you've seen my eating habits at times, and it's not always been spiritual, has it? It's been a little bit carnal. But, you know, making no provision, we laugh about some of these things, but making no provision for the flesh, it's all self-sufficiency. You know, a lot of times when we think about the flesh, we're thinking about, you know, sin or committing adultery or this or the other.
Yeah.
But really, it's the idea you don't give your natural humanness lordship in anything.
Come on. That's right. Yeah.
You make no provision of in your thinking, in your methodology, in your way forward. No, you rest in the lordship of Jesus.
Yes.
And I like to say cooperate with the life of God, the nature that you have. You have the nature of Jesus in you.
So good. Paul said this. He said, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection.
Yeah.
Lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Right.
But Paul said, you know, I'm not going to let my flesh dominate me. I'm going to dominate my flesh. Now, that's a challenge.
It sure is.
And it's a daily challenge.
Yes, it is.
And that's why, you know, over in Galatians, he talks about walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only way we're able to do this is by the Spirit.
Totally.
You know, in Romans 8:13, he says, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live.
Mm.
So what do you say we get the Holy Spirit involved helping us not only to carry Christ in us, but also enabling us, praise the Lord, to leave those things of the flesh, to lay them aside.
Mm.
That's what Hebrews says, laying aside the weights.
And
if we get a revelation of how much God loves us, it'll be a whole lot easier
Absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. No, it's really, really powerful. I think, too, with these natural things and the fleshly attraction or the fleshly addictions to natural things, because we're trapped in this earth suit, which has appetites that are contrary to our spirit life, you know.
Yeah.
It's really, really important that we don't let our mindset, because our that carnal mind, that fleshly mind, it's contrary, it's enmity, really. It goes against
it's enmity, hostility toward God.
Yeah, and so it goes back, like you said earlier, the whole renewing of the mind in the process of walking out the truth that we now carry.
So good.
Is daily.
Think about Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded produces death, but to be spiritually minded brings life and peace. That has to do with the renewing of the mind.
Yeah.
Tony Cook said years ago, where he says it's not the removal of our mind, but it's the renewal of our mind.
Yeah.
And God will keep us in perfect peace. Where we're going through this journey of carrying Christ in us, there's going to be a lot of things that will try to get us off focus.
Absolutely.
But the scripture talks about looking unto Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the author.
Yes.
He's the finisher of our faith. He is the one who told us, I'll keep you in perfect peace.
Wow.
Yeah. If you'll just keep your mind stayed on me.
Yeah, that's good. And you know, the peace that you want is not as the world gives,
no.
Jesus said. So, I mean, thank God for peaceable environments and, you know, peaceable things,
right.
And going to a resort or whatever,
yeah.
Where you calm your nerves. Thank God for all that stuff. But
yep.
the peace that you want is what God gives.
Come on.
Yeah.
Love it. Admonition number 3. This is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 2:15-16. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, now notice, the love of the Father is not in him.
Mm-hmm.
For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And you say in your book here on page 23, do you see the key to be free?
Mm.
The key to be free. It is founded in the love of the Father.
Wow.
Talk to us about
Man, I like that. You know, people have always asked me through the years because, and this is where sometimes people have misunderstood some of my teaching. Because I don't teach people to love God. And they think that's kind of a blasphemous thought. But I say it to shock their thinking because mm-hmm. we've always been taught, you know, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said that in the law. If you do it, you fulfill the law,
right.
You know. But the new covenant shifts the equation from our effort to love Him to the revelation of His love for us.
Oh, yeah.
And so
wow.
Now in the new covenant, our love for God is a reciprocal.
Yeah.
But it's based on His love for us. So in those verses you read, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things, people have always asked, why does this famous person fall into sin and that and all these things? Because
yeah.
they love God so much, they say.
Right.
They say to me. And I try to brace or embrace the conversation by saying, to me, the key is not how much you love God. The key is knowing how much God loves you.
Wow.
And I think sometimes there's people's lives, there's like what we talked about in the previous Sunday night, is condemnation is anchored in a lot of our hearts. We really don't believe we're truly forgiven.
Right.
We really don't truly believe God has forgotten things.
Right.
And we hold this sin consciousness in us. And we don't know how to be loved by the Father. So to me, the courage to carry Christ in you comes from knowing and believing that God loves me completely.
I
believe that. And so the love of the Father, it's not your love for the Father, it's the love
yes.
of the Father. In other words, and that's what that verse talks about, the love of the Father.
So good.
So God's love for you in the revelation of that is what frees you from the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
It frees you
there
from
you
the lust of the eyes.
Yeah.
It frees. So let's say I'm struggling with the lust of the eyes or the pride of life or whatever. Let's
right.
say the flesh has got a strong hold on me now
right.
to my carnal life, my carnal, you know, humanness, let's
right.
say. For me to fix that is to rush into the revelation of what God thinks about me. I have favor with God right now, even in the midst of the pain. It's like Paul says in another place. He says, you awake to the realm of righteousness or the revelation of
yes.
righteousness, and then
yes.
you don't sin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that people who love God have a greater capacity to resist.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the people who know they're loved by God.
Oh, wow.
Have the capacity
oh,
to resist.
I love that. That's so good.
Yeah.
And for, I think it's 1 John 4:19, we love Him.
Oh, my.
Because He first loved us.
Isn't that comforting?
Wow.
Because I don't know about you, I've not always been real good, you know, even through my ministry life, loving God perfectly. In
right.
other words, there have been certain pressures in my life and certain pressures in the ministry where I fully fleshed out in anger, in frustration, doing the work of the ministry and getting angry at people. You know, I understand like in the Bible how Moses could say, Lord, I'm done with all of them. You know, then one time God said He was done with them too. And
yeah.
Moses interceded. You know, remember that?
Yeah.
But the thing is the idea, circumstances can capture your flesh.
Right.
And if you feed that, you're gonna be in trouble. So I always have to come back to the basis of whatever pain I'm in. is the love of the Father, because then I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life.
A revelation and an understanding. Lord, may the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. May we know the height, the depth, the length, the greatness of his love, which is to us word. Wow.
It's powerful.
Think about that. We've known and believed the love that God has to us.
Yeah.
God's love.
Absolutely.
And we're dwelling in God. God's dwelling in us.
Yeah.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Yeah.
As he is, so are we in this world. And think about that. There is no fear in love.
It's amazing.
When we get a revelation of how much love loves us, it dispels fear.
Everything.
It turns it out of doors. All of our past failures, all of our past shortcomings, they're swallowed up in the blood of Jesus and the love of the Father.
It's so beautiful. You know, there's times where my heart can get nervous from natural things.
Right.
Let's say it's with family members, with kids, grandkids, whatever. And if I let my mind be trapped there, fear grows.
Yeah.
And my only ticket out, the only ticket for me out is not to rebuke and bind and whatever. Thank God for rebuking and binding the devil and these kind of things.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I come, I do all that from a position of being loved.
Come on.
Because I've got to deal with that fear. And, you know, the love of God cast out fear. That's astonishing to me.
It is. It does.
And it delivers you from torment. Let's say worst case reports, health reports, reports about your kids, your world, your economy, whatever. We all hear stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't feed on it. You got to come back to the love of the Father, and you got to reside there. That's always your default mode when you've been at your worst.
Come on.
It's your default mode.
Good.
It's the righteousness of Jesus. That's the truth about you. In your worst state, you have an eternal righteousness, an everlasting righteousness.
Woo.
And this is where
I'm
love
getting
is.
Happy up in here.
I tell you,
hallelujah.
This is so wonderful.
Perfect love.
Yeah.
Casts out fear.
It does.
And there's nothing that's going to separate you from the love of God.
Nothing.
Which is in
nothing
Christ Jesus our Lord.
Means nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
It's see, this stuff takes faith to believe.
It does.
It takes faith to believe that, because we are so merit minded.
Right.
In our world. And nothing wrong with merit in our world system. I'm not opposed to, you know, these kind of things. But in the kingdom it doesn't work.
That's right.
In the kingdom it will corrupt your thinking.
Yeah.
It will put you on the outside, and you'll live as though you're an outsider, like you're an orphan, and like you got to qualify to get back in. Listen, the love of God is that rich and real and powerful and strong. All you got to do is come to a place where you swallow it.
Come on.
You say yes to it.
That's
right. What faith is, you know.
Jesus said that the Father loves us as much as he loves himself. John 17:23.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, I think it just do us really good to just walk around during the course of a day and say, my Father loves me. Love loves me. I'm loved by my Father. There's no fear in my life.
Yeah.
My Father loves me. He's for me. He's on my side. He's going before me. He's all around me. The Father. No wonder Paul said, nay, in all these things.
In all these
Remember, he said, what shall we then say to these things?
Yeah.
If love be for us, who can be against us? He said, nay, in all these things, whatever you're going through, whatever those things are, you are more than a conqueror through him that loves you.
It's awesome.
Glory to God.
That's the joy, isn't it?
It is.
And this is where in our days, through the interruptions of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when he reminds us and quickens us.
Yes.
This is where you take time to smile.
Yeah.
Take time to rejoice.
That's right.
Take time to say, you've got to be kidding me.
That's
you know?
Right.
It's beautiful.
Wow.
And then just swallow and believe it and go on with your day and the journey.
Amen.
Knowing God is opening every door that needs to be opened and shutting every door that needs to be shut for you and those you love. It's that wonderful.
Hold fast to the truth that you've heard today. Hold fast to the revelation of the love of the Father.